Praise God. Father, we thank you today. Open the eyes of our understanding. We receive light from your word, your insights and concepts. We praise you for the development of your covenant relationship with us. And we thank you for it. And now for the anointing, for in-depth understanding that puts our faith in a new place, that we rise up in a place of healing and receiving it and teaching it and preaching it, the healings and the power of spirit, soul, body, financially, socially, in every way to prosper in the covenants of God and in our covenant, the second most powerful in the blood of our Savior Jesus. Thank you for it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, remember yesterday in Isaiah chapter 10, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped to the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but they shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. So there it was again, Israel and Jacob in the same sentence. Well, we know from the scripture that Jacob wrestled with God and would not turn him loose till he blessed him. And he touched his hip. He literally couldn't defeat him. And changed his name to Israel. And now that makes sense when you talk about the children of Israel. It's the children of Jacob.
Right.
But there's a difference in the two names. That first name of Jacob, that just wouldn't do anymore.
No. So God put his name in there.
Yeah, he put his name in there, and we won't go into why. But because it's irrelevant now. But he put his name in there. So, and then that puts us in there. So now we know why it is the state of Israel and not the state of Jacob.
Right. Or Palestine or any other name. Judah. They didn't call it Judah. They called it Israel.
Israel.
That's what made the devil mad, because it's back. And he remembers that. He knows the promises of that. And he knows that the timeline is changing. Yeah. So when that happened, right now, Brother Copeland, I believe it fully, we are transitioning to the next phase.
I do.
For the return and for the Messianic
kingdom. When you see, and I've been around long enough to see a lot of it, it happened right after World War II. There were a lot of ministries that stopped to go into the defense plants. They'd just come out of the Depression. And as most of you know, I was born in 1936, so that was right there at the tail end of it. Well, no political leader can claim the stop of the Depression because it was the war that stopped it. Mm. Everything went on a war footing. But a revival broke out in here in Great Britain. They were praying against battles. And in some cases, it was a problem with God because the Germans were praying. There were a lot of Christian people following Luther.
Right. That's right.
But you have to go back to the leadership to understand all that. Only one nation came out of World War II. The nation of Israel.
That's correct. Now, out of World War I, several nations came. Out of World War I because, and that was prophetic, Jews were already waking up in Europe. God's already stirring their spirits to get out of here. And some of them are making aliyah, or they're coming back to their homeland. our government, sad to say, got involved with stopping it.
Yeah, they did.
And some others got involved with stopping it. But when you look at that, Ben Yehuda helped revive the language. And you see these guys coming in. Theodore Herzl is the guy I was trying to think of, German.
Yes, yes.
Theodore Herzl is helping them create the Zionist movement to come out. So God's already moving. So what happened at World War I? See, Israel, the land, was held by the Ottoman Turks.
Yep.
But when World War I ended, the British defeated them. So now the British have that land. And Lord Balfour and the White Papers and all those documents, the Balfour Declaration, called it Palestine. The Brits called it Palestine. They made Iraq. They made Saudi Arabia. They redrew the lines. They made this place called Palestine, Syria. They're the ones that made the countries that we now know today, but they didn't exist prior to that. And so all of that was a move. God's always two or three or 100 steps ahead of anything
sure
Satan
is.
Has planned. So he's preparing a remnant, what we read about
now,
yesterday.
Now, Allenby opened it up.
Yes, that's right.
On
General
purpose.
Allenby.
He was a strong believer, and he was a strong believer in Israel.
Well, he learned it from the Bible.
Yes, he did. And he opened it up and said, come back to your homeland, and they wouldn't do it.
Right.
Handful, maybe.
Yeah, here and there.
So there had to be another war. That's where all that came from. But now, we, as the remnant, we get into it. Let's get in here in the book of Romans, because it talks about us being grafted into the...
Romans chapter 11. Paul does this wonderful thesis on justification and who's righteous and who's not righteous, chapters 1 through 8. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Jews with a covenant have sinned. Gentiles without a covenant of sin, and we need help. And then right in the middle of it, he throws in chapter 9, 10, and 11 about Israel. I'm like, why is that in there? Well, you're going to find out right here in chapter 11. Romans 11, let's look at verse 5. Even so, this is written by Paul, probably the greatest rabbi, our rabbi. I call him the church's rabbi. Even so, then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is not of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it is of works, then is no more grace, otherwise work is no more work. Go on down. Verse 16. For if the first fruit be holy, Jesus is our first fruit.
Yes.
If the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. That's why I always say, Brother Cable, I'm just part of the lump somewhere back there. He's the first fruit. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Jesus talked about the fruit being on the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Mm-hmm. Jesus, so he is the first fruit. Go down to verse 17. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted among them, and with them partakers of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. For thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest in faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, or be in reverence. The only reason some of that was removed was because of unbelief. They could not enter in because of unbelief. Speaking of healing this week, he could do no mighty works because of unbelief.
Yes.
We're people of faith. We're seed, we're the remnant seed, we're heirs based upon that seed, but it's got to be by faith.
Yes, it is. And it has to be a living faith. It has to be a living faith, a living, active faith. The just shall live by faith. It's not the powerless type of faith when someone asks, what faith are you? That's not what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the spiritual force of faith. And thank you, Lord. It's the faith that pleases God.
That's it.
And that was what they refused to do.
It's the faith of God.
Yes.
The God kind of faith.
Yeah.
Look at verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. That's our time. This is a time change. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob.
There he is. Not Israel.
Jacob.
Jacob.
When they don't hold their position as the prince that wrestled with God and go back to that secondary position that they had under Esau, they're Jacob. We could say it this way for us. When we don't walk by the Spirit but walk in flesh, carnality, we're Jacob.
Yeah, we walked away from the spirit of Jacob.
We walked in that spirit. Verse 27, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for my father's sake, for our father's sake. Verse 29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He's never going to repent for calling them. It's a covenant.
That's right.
And he's never going to repent for calling us.
Now, you can step into this on a personal basis just to take this opportunity. Whatever he has called whomever to do, he had reason for doing that. Mm-hmm. So, he's not going to change his mind about that. Mm-hmm. Because he's right the first time. And if you don't approach it that way... Now, once I realized I don't understand people that, well, maybe I'm not called, but because that never did happen to me. And anyway, I never wanted to doubt of it in the first place. I made a lot of mess ups, but that really helped me when I realized that his callings are without repentance. Mm-hmm. He's never changed his mind about changing Jacob's name.
No.
He's never changed his mind about his covenant with Israel. He's never changed his mind about his covenant with the United States. He's never changed his mind about any of that. And...
Well, let's talk about that for a second. We just talked about wild branches being grafted in. Mm-hmm. This nation was founded on this book. It's a testament. It's a covenant. So as a result of, this nation was grafted into the root. And whenever this nation turns its back on God or turns its back on its covenant brother, the root, Israel, then we set ourselves up for, because we're called to that. The callings of God are without repentance.
How much time do we have, Carol?
9 minutes.
Okay. The day was April 30th, 1789. This was a day of making covenant with Almighty God for the United States of America. A proclamation was made for the sacred gathering at Federal Hall. Come and see your president take his oath and pray that God will accept this land as his. At 9 a.m., the bells rang out through the city. George Washington made his official oath of office in New York City. He laid his hands on the Bible, not just merely on the Bible, but on the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis, where God made covenant with Abraham. Then lifting up his arm toward God to heaven, he laid his hand on that. He opened it there, laid his hand on that and lifted it. He didn't do this.
No, he didn't.
He did this. He didn't lift his hand. He had this and then he did this. Lifting his arm upward toward heaven, made a vow to lead our nation and honor the God of Israel and his covenant. After Washington invoked his, well, it's notable the only other president to do this was Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. He did the very same thing. After Washington invoked his oath and covenant unto the Lord, and he sealed it with, so help me God. He bowed his knee to the ground in reverence and kissed the Bible. On his knee, he kissed that Bible. Afterward, Washington called the senators and newly elected officials to join him. They walked arm in arm down the street to New York's St. Paul's Chapel. There they bowed together and prayed and dedicated this land. All of Congress, the first one, dedicated this land, our beloved America, to God. The day that George Washington was inaugurated was the day that covenant was invoked. America belonged to God Almighty. Almighty God, we make our earnest prayer that thou would keep the United States in holy protection, will incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, and entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another and for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, particularly for their brethren who've served in the field. Finally, that thou wilt most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, to demean ourselves with that charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion. And without a humble imitation of those who example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Grant our supplication, we beseech thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, Almighty Father, if it is your holy will that we shall obtain a place and name among nations of the earth, grant that we may be enabled to show our gratitude for the goodness by our endeavors to fear and obey thee. Bless us with thy wisdom in our counsels, success in battle. Let our victories be tempered with humanity. Endow us also, our enemies, with enlightened mind, that they may become sensible in their justice and willing to restore our liberty and peace. Grant this the petition of thy servant, for the sake of whom thou wast called, thy beloved son, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, George Washington.
He had his hand on this chapter, chapter 17. Look at verse 2. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. This nation has seen that.
Yes, it has.
We've been multiplied. Oh. We've been blessed. But when we draw back, mm-hmm. or when we turn our back on our grafted in root, Israel, trouble comes.
It always does. Now we can see the connection. We have just the same as the nation of Israel. We have an angelic, godly umbrella. But it's based on leadership. Not the population. And when our leadership prefers Israel's enemies, whomever they are, and turn just small things, because the thing of it is, the devil's looking for a hole.
Yep.
And when our leadership turns their back on Israel, we have all kinds of terrible weather. And in our household and in this family and in this ministry, we stand against that and against the weather problems and so forth. And I'll say this to our audience all over the world. Don't just pray about a storm. Talk to it. Speak to that thing. Jesus did it. He spoke to the storm and stood still it. This has happened to us so many times. We speak to tornadoes and see them just go back up. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't ever get in an airplane within 25 miles of a big thunderstorm. You just stay away from that thing. We were going into our prayer cabin mm-hmm. there in the land there, close. And here's this big single thunderstorm, big one. And so I went out like this and was looking at it out the side window of the airplane. And there was a tornado dropped right here and then another one right behind him out in a pasture in the water, and I hollered at that thing. In that airplane, at the top of my voice, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you get up there where you belong.
Amen.
I demonstrated that to my good friend Pat Boone. We were at his place and saw some waterspouts. I said, Pat, through Jesus' name, we have total and complete authority over these things.
That's right.
He and I sat there and spoke to those waterspouts, and they all went back up and left. It started hailing on my house the other afternoon. I opened that back door. You could probably heard me on the other side of the lake. It quit in 30 seconds. It was still going on out in the lake, but not on my house.
Amen. You're living in your covenant.
Yes, and you take advantage of... Bill Winston called Jesus the sample son. I wish I'd have thought of that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I texted him. I said, oh, you did it again, brother. The sample son.
Yeah.
Whatever he did, he said that. The works that I do, shall you do also. He spoke to the wind and sea. Speak to the wind and sea. And we came out of the... We were going to church one night. And John and Kelly were... They were just small. And right over there, boy, there was a tornado dropped up. I said, kids, John Kelly, attack that thing. They started screaming into that thing in the name of Jesus. You mean a little child?
Yes.
No, the name of Jesus.
Yes.
But you don't go out there and say, now, Jesus, help me with this storm. That's a good prayer, but you're not through.
Yeah.
I mean, you attack the thing in the name of Jesus. Think what you're doing for the people around you.
Yeah, that's right.
But so, now this is...
Let me tie a bow on it with this verse. Hebrews 11:38, talking about the callings of God without repentance. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back...
Yeah, it is. That's it.
My soul shall have no pleasure in him. We cannot draw back from our covenant. Cannot draw back from our root. America can't draw back.
Read that again. Read it again.
Now, the Hebrews 11:38. Now, the just...
Hang on.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38.
Yes, it is.
Now, the just... That's you. That's me. We're justified. We're righteous. The just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him.
But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, of the mind, the will, and the emotions. Now faith is the substance
of things hoped for, the evidence of things
Glory
not
to
seen.
God, I preached me happy.
Yes, sir.
You did. Oh, we're out of time. Well, that's all right. Praise God. We'll be back in just a minute.
Do you truly believe God can heal you? When the enemy comes from all angles to scare you into believing that you can't be delivered, overcome fear, defeat doubt, and build your faith with the Word of God. In the Healing is Yours package, you'll learn the truth of God's Word that will renew your mind and build your faith for your healing. Hear what God has to say about your healing in Healing Scriptures, a CD by Kenneth Copeland that reinforces with Scripture that God wants you well. You Are Healed, a mini book also by Kenneth Copeland, explains God's covenant of healing for you. Every word from Jesus brought deliverance and healing. Bring that word of God into your household and charge up your faith to be made whole again in every area of your life. God's will is to heal, and He will heal everyone who comes to Him in faith. Because of your position in God as His child and as joint heir with Jesus, healing belongs to you. Request your free copy of the Healing is Yours package from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. In this package, there is a CD with Kenneth Copeland reading healing scriptures and a mini book entitled You Are Healed, also by Kenneth Copeland. Go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01-225-787-310. This free offer is good for 30 days. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. God has created a wealthy place in His family just for you. It is His place filled with His love, provision, healing, protection, peace, and wisdom for all areas of your life. Because of Jesus' work of redemption, this blessed life in God's family is available to everyone who comes to Him to receive it. Jesus paid the price that sin demanded of you, and He made a way for you to rightfully stand in God's presence without a sense of guilt or shame. This invitation to be a part of God's family is still being offered to you right now. All you have to do is receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've not done that, then I encourage you to pray this with me. Lord, I confess my sins before you. I turn my life over completely. Take over and be the Lord of my life. I receive you as my Savior. I receive you and I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you that I'm born again. I am filled with new life. Amen. Glory to God, you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You are a part of God's family now, and He's made you joint heirs with Jesus Himself. And you share in the same kingdom rights and privileges that He has for you. Now, if you would like to learn more about your new life in God's family, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have a gift they would like to send to you for free. It's called the Salvation Package. In this package is a book called He Did It All For You and two brochures to help you get started in reading your Bible. These free resources will teach you about your new identity in Christ and will help you get started in a personal relationship with God, your loving Heavenly Father. Spend time reading God's Word every day. It will renew your mind to think the way God thinks, and you will begin to see yourself the way God sees you, as a victorious overcomer. Now, if you would follow these instructions, He'll show you in His Word, and He'll lead you to the blessed life He has prepared for you. To request your salvation package, go to kcm.org, and we'll send it to you for free.
Now, with Mark and Trina Hankins, we were talking about who we are in Christ Jesus. That's what this is about. But not only that, who He is in us. He is in us, our hope of glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Don't miss it. And go, kcm.org, get the notes. You can study it and preach it and, well, you know what to do. And until tomorrow, remember this. God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.
Yes, He is.
Oh! Hallelujah!
Learn more about who you are in Jesus and who He is in you. Email us at partners@kcm.org.uk to request your free salvation package.